Today we're going to continue on in our series on Acts that we started last month. And in the book of Acts, we're going to take a journey through the book of Acts for the next several months just to go through it, because this is the foundation of the church. As we saw in the first message was the beginning in Acts chapter 1. And a couple of weeks ago, we were in Acts chapter 2, and we talked about the empowered church, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, where the visitation of the Holy Spirit really empowered the church to be what it is today. So today we're going to continue on in that same chapter. We're going to skip all the way to the 42nd verse today, the 42nd verse, as we talk about some principles or attributes of the New Testament church. Now, this is the scripture I've come to you before with this same scripture, but it's very important for us to understand and emphasize that the early church started out in a certain way, and these principles that the early church started out with are some of the same practices that we are doing today. So sit back and enjoy with us for a few minutes the attributes or the principles of the early church. And as you listen to the message today, I want you to keep track of how many of these principles we actually are doing today. And if we're not doing them, why are we not doing them? So pray with us at this time as we begin this message on the attributes of the early church. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for blessing us once again, Lord, to serve you, to celebrate you, Lord. I just thank you, Father. Father, as I prepare to preach and teach this message, Father, I just pray that you anoint the ears of the hearers and the hearts to receive what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So last time the early part of Acts chapter 2, the visitation of the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and Peter just preached. Peter just preached. The Holy Spirit was in him, and it tells us a whole lot of folks were saved because of that. And this is what happened next. So after that sermon, that great evangelistic sermon where men and women and children came to Christ, here's what happened next in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayer. Now, there's a lot in this one verse, and quite honestly, I could spend the whole time today just on this one verse, but I want to sort of summarize it for you today, because there's several principles here in this one verse that we need to pay attention to and look at the early church and how they worshiped and how they practiced. Again, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayer. First principle you see in here that they believed in instruction. They believed in instruction. They believed in the inspired teachings of the apostles. There it is right there at the beginning part of verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What were they doing? That was Bible study. That was teaching them God's word. So they continued in that because they were new in the faith and they wanted to learn more about the faith. So they continued steadfastly. And that word means to persevere or to be constantly diligent in learning more about Jesus Christ. And the disciples, the apostles, even had that commandment from Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Where it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Guess what? That was a command from Jesus Christ. Go and teach all nations. It's one thing to reach people for Christ, but it's something else to teach them in Christ. That's where the growth process really comes into place. So they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, Timothy, even Paul said the young Timothy, the young preacher, that Paul was mentoring in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you see that in scripture, and I can go on and on. That's why we can stay on this one passage the whole time, just on this one passage. And maybe one day we will do that, but not today. So they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and look at the next part of verse 42. And fellowship. Guess what else they believed in? They believed in instructions, but they also believed in fellowship. You know, the evidence of our new life with Christ is the desire to be with other people of God. Amen? Amen. When we come to Christ, when we accept Christ, we want to know more about Christ. We want to fellowship with people of God who are living as Christ's examples. We want to be with them. We want to learn from them. We want to dine with them. Uh-oh, that's the next point. We want to dine with them. So they believed in fellowship. And scripture supporting this comes from John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, which reads, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That was Jesus giving them a new commandment about love. And if we have love in our heart once we accept Christ, if we have love for Christ, we need to have love for the people of Christ, the people of God. We need to have love. So they believed in fellowship. Not only that, but they believed in breaking bread together. Again, going back to verse 42, and breaking of bread. They believed in the practice of breaking bread. They believed in the fellowship dinners. But not only that, they believed in the breaking of bread and in the sense of communion as we do today. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 tells us that the early Christians practiced this on the first day of the week. Remember the meal that Jesus left with his disciples when he told them to come together, and when they come together to break bread, when they come together to remember him, to remember his body, to remember his blood, they're coming together and breaking bread and fellowship. And instruction. But look at the very last word in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, and in prayers. They believed in prayer. They believed in prayer. We believe in prayer. We believe that prayer answers our situations in life. We believe that prayer gives us direction. We believe that prayer helps us on a daily basis. When we wake up in the morning and crack open our eyes, when you get to a certain point of age like I am, you got to, this Lord, just help me. Help me get up this morning. Help me get that energy this morning. Help me, Lord. First of all, thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you. Now help me as I start out my day. Let no weapon come across me, Lord, that you cannot handle, Lord. You know, we pray. We believe in prayer. Proverbs 15:29 even says the Lord is far from the wicked. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. He hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. And I believe I have some witnesses today that have had answered prayers in their life, that have realized that God is real, that God has protected them, has taken care of them, has provided for them. You know, when you have that month, when you have more month than money, who is it that provides for you? It is the Lord. I believe that prayer helps. We've all had situations in our families where somebody has made a miraculous recovery according to the doctors. But I believe somebody had a praying lifestyle, had a praying mother, had a praying father, had praying grandparents. I believe somebody. What does the song say? Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind. Just think about it. Prayer is a wonderful thing. And the early church, the beginning of the church, focused on prayer. So the question is, what are we depending on today? Are we practicing? Are we open to instruction? Are we open to learn more about God? Now here's something that I understand within myself. I know that I will never know enough. I will never gain enough understanding. I am not going to stand here and say that, well, because I've had X number of years in seminary and because I have my doctorate in ministry, that's it. I don't need to read the Bible anymore. I don't need to study the Bible anymore because I learned a lot of stuff. But you know, sometimes when you think that way, that's all you have is stuff. Amen? Because guess what? With what you've learned, with what I've learned, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ as that activating agent, it would be for nothing. I would just be an educated fool. I would just be somebody that had a whole lot of knowledge in my head, but I would lack wisdom. You know, didn't Solomon say something about that? It's okay to have knowledge, but if you don't have wisdom, you got to have understanding too. You know, so that instruction is for our benefit so we can learn more about God, learn more about his ways, and understand our relationship with them. The fellowship is where we come together and just worship and praise and study together and work together. You know, that's how we come together and we can do more than we can do individually. That's when we can come together and do great things in the neighborhood. That's when we can come together and come together in prayer for one another. We can come together and breaking bread with one another. So just in that one verse, just in that 42nd verse, there it is. Four principles of the church of the that started out with the beginning of the church after the first ones were saved. And look what they did. And isn't this what we are supposed to do today? Amen. Now in verse 43 of Acts chapter 2, it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, when you see that word fear, usually that means respect, a great respect, great awe. So they had great awe upon the power of God, of how God was being used through the hands of the apostles. And they saw that the apostles were empowered since they had received the Holy Spirit. They were healing people. They were casting out demons. They were watching that, and they were in awe of that. You know something, folks, when the Holy Spirit is present, it's time to be still. It's time to reflect. It's time to just to be astonished by the miracles and the signs of the Lord. Wonders. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Wonders, that's those miracles that evoke awe among them. Signs is the miracles pointing to a divine truth. You know, Jesus healed. They talked about Jesus. They followed Jesus because of what he was doing. But yet they're seeing now the apostles have that power. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit descended upon them and empowered them. And not only empowered them, but empowered the church to witness signs and wonders. Now, you know, we get to a point where we're all educated and stuff, and we got to have an explanation for everything. You know, something will happen and we got to dissect it. We got to figure out, okay, now what principle of science did this adhere to? What principle of time and space did this adhere to? What principle of physics happened just here? You know, there are some things you can't explain. There are some things when you are speeding down the highway and that car comes from around the corner and ignores the stop sign and barely misses you or even hits you, but you have very minor injuries when the officials come by and they look at your car and they say, I don't know how anybody survived. You know, you can analyze the situation. You can analyze it. But sometimes you just need to step back and say, look at God. Sometimes you just need to step back and say, look at God. You know, there are moments in our life where all we can say is just look at God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe another day I'll try to analyze. Maybe another day I will reflect on what happened. But what it really comes down to is the hands of God was on me today. Amen. Amen. The hand of God was on me today. And I know that has happened to me, and I know that has happened to you, because I've heard your testimonies. I've witnessed your praise. I've been with you, and I know that God is still real. He's still real in our life, just as he was for the beginners, the apostles and disciples and those who began the church. Acts chapter 5, it goes on to tell that by the hands of the apostles, chapter 5, verse 12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all on one accord in Solomon's porch. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles. That was another attribute of the New Testament church. And look at verse 44. Of Acts chapter 2. It says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. The next point is, guess what? The early church was unified. The early church was unified. They were together. All that believed were together. You know, there's great things come out of the company of believers. Amen. Great things happen when you're in the company of believers. When you're down, they can lift you up. They will pray for you. They will sometimes just sit silently with you, like Job's friends did. There's great benefit in being together. You know, I occasionally I'll get the question from somebody. We're talking about church, and somebody will say that, well, I don't need to go to church. I'm saved, and I know that when I die, I will go to heaven, but I watch so-and-so on TV, and that's good enough for me. You know, I believe in visiting other ministries. I believe in watching other ministries, but every saint needs a church home. Every saint needs a church home where somebody knows your name, amen? Every saint needs that place, needs that refuge. Because see, if you are saved and just waiting for that time that you go to glory, you are robbing the church of the benefits of your gifts to contribute to the church. Because see, collectively, we are the church, the people, we are the church. And collectively, we do great things. And the way the church is set up, the different gifts of individuals make up the church. So you might think that you don't need the fellowship of believers, but there will come a time in your life when you will have challenges in your life and you will have nobody to go to except the Lord, but you will have nobody, no church body to go to, nobody to call up and say, can you pray with me? Can you come sit with me for a little while? Nobody to help you out. You see, we help each other out. And that's one thing that's very important by the fellowship that we have, which is kind of alluded to in the next verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 45. Let's look at that. It said, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. You know, so great was God's love and so powerful was the Holy Spirit and the apostles' teaching in the early church that they made sure everybody had what they wanted. They sold their possessions, they sold their goods, and they parted them, or they divided them. They divided them among people as every man has needs. Don't we do that? Don't we share with those in need? Don't we seek to do what we can to help our brothers and sisters out? And sometimes it's not in giving of anything we have, sometimes we can help our brothers out by just making the right connection. They have a need. We know who can fulfill the need. We can serve as a resource and help somebody else out. The early church sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. When there was a need, they took care of it. And it goes on and continued throughout Acts, this act of benevolence. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, I want to read real quickly. It says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. That was the attitude of the early church. My brother, my sister, if you have a need, let me know. Let me know. We will try our best to fulfill your needs. And you know, I will say that there are some people who are really gifted in benevolence. It's called helps in the word. There are people who are really gifted in that, who are really gifted in discerning what somebody else's need is before that person even vocalizes it. They can be with a person and they can realize what the need is and they can assist with that need. There are gifted people that you know, each and every one of us know who we can go to when we have a need, who can help us out. Maybe it's just some knowledge that we need in order to handle a situation in life. Each and every one of us has somebody that we can go to and share this and say, how can I satisfy this need in my life? Now, mind you, what they're talking about is needs, as every man has needs. Now, I think sometimes we get mixed up. You know, we have needs and we have greeds, amen? We have needs and necessities, and we have greeds, the things we want, the things we covet, the things we think we gotta have. And a lot of those greeds are things that we absolutely don't need, but we have them. But what they're focusing on is the need. As every man has needs. And look at verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Wait a minute now. Daily with one accord in the temple. You know, you got some folks who think that coming to church one time a week is too much. Or coming to Bible study and church in the same week is too much. But they continue what? What? Hold on. Let me read that again. Let me make sure I got the right version. In verse 46, it says, they continue what? Daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They shared with one another. They fellowshiped with one another. They were a biblical community. They were a beloved community. They were the people of God. And that's what they had in common. They were very much a biblical community. You know, there are different types of communities that are based upon shared or common interest. For example, you have retirement communities where people who are retired like to live together because there's benefits in a retirement community. You have golf communities where people who, guess what? They love to play golf. It's near a golf course. We have lake communities. We have gated communities, but we have the community of the people of God. And guess what? Each one of those communities I named is exclusive. It's a community that you have to pay to join. You have to do something in order to meet the standard of being in that community. But if we are in a biblical community, if we're in a biblical community, all we have to do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we are in that community. Amen. Amen. There is no pass card that we need to show. Amen. There is nothing that we really need to do to prove that we are in that community other than be obedient to scriptures and have God evident in our daily lives. But a biblical community, they met daily, they cared daily, They search the scripture daily. When I think about that searching the scripture, I think about Acts chapter 17, verse 11, and we'll probably get there soon. But this is when Paul and Silas visited the church in Berea, and they found that they received the word and searched the scripture daily to confirm that it is true. It was true. Now, it's interesting, and I'm going to have to say that. I'll park that. I'll come back to that to you at another time about that. But you had people who were reading scripture, studying scripture, confirming what was said by the apostles was actually truth. And that's what I want each and every one of us to be doing. I don't want anybody just to take my word for it. I want you to search the scripture. I don't want you to take any preacher's word for it. I want you to search the scripture. I want you to confirm that it is truth. Because see, we are just individuals. Amen. And we will err from time to time. Yes, we will. Even preachers will err from time to time. And we need to be corrected. But I invite you to search the scripture for yourself so you can know the word for yourself. And you know what? Once you know the word for yourself, you'll be able to handle those situations. You'll be mature enough to handle those situations in life. In life. Let's finish up. Let's look at that last verse, verse 47. What else did they do? They were praising God and having favor with all people. They were magnified among the people and they praised God. They had favor. They had favor among the people. And it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Uh-oh, let's look at this again. Let's look at that last part again. Who added to the church daily? The Lord added to the church such as should be what? Saved. You know, the church's role should not be people who are not saved. Amen? The church's role should be made up of people who have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because that's how the early church did it. It's right there in Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It is not such as those who expressed an interest. It is not as such of those who made a major contribution. It is not such as those who were articulate in the word and eloquent in their speech, but it was those who were saved, who were saved. Now, all those other attributes, they're good, but they can't gain salvation. They believed in praise and worship. They believed in evangelism. They reached out to individuals, and those who were saved were added to the church. Isn't that beautiful, my brothers and sisters? This is the beginning of the church. This is how the church started. And this is what we should be doing today. And I'm so glad at Beacon Light that we are doing a lot of this. But we cannot sit on our laurels and think that we've done enough. We cannot compare ourselves to somebody else our size and say we do more than them. No, guess what? Beacon Light, we are a gifted people. We are an anointed people. We have gifts in Beacon Light that have not been utilized. We have gifts that have been set on. We have gifts that need to be unwrapped for the benefit of God's people and the work of God's people. We have the gifts. Let's utilize the gifts. That's how the early church started, by utilizing their gifts. And the church grew. Read this. Study the scripture. Examine the scripture. And ask yourself, where is the church today? Are we doing this in our church today? Whatever church you belong to, ask yourself, are we doing this? But also ask yourself, what role can I play in making this happen? What role can I play? Lord, how can I use my gifts for the benefit of your glory and your church? The attributes of the New Testament church are found in this passage. Five verses, but so powerful and so integral to our church life. So I pray that you have been blessed by this word. I pray that you have been blessed. I pray that you wait with great anticipation to the next time we come from Acts. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.